Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of June 24th. I'm John Gibson, and I'm on the road in Nagoya, while with me on a Saturday night is Jim Allen back in Tokyo. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. I'm here in the...
You don't know where you are.
I do know where I am. I'm in the luxurious... I beg your pardon. I am sitting in the lap of luxury in our posh Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast Studio Annex.
There you go. You remember.
So there. I'll be sending you the rent check, you know.
If you're still using checks, go right ahead.
Okay. How's it going, man?
All right, I'm doing all right. Having fun in Nagoya, meeting up with some of my old basketball buddies, so it has been really fun. And I'm going to go out to Nagoya Dome tomorrow and check out the Fighters and the Dragons. Dragons going for a sweep! Woohoo!
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that the Dragon Sen remembered what a sweep is.
They felt the broom a number of times, so wow. I'm sure they do.
That's the smack. That's not a sweep. That's a smack.
The bristles of the broom, or the, whatever they felt. They're still picking them out of their teeth.
Yeah, okay. So they bristle a lot. Okay.
All right. On this week's show, we've got a chat with Scott Matheson of Yomiuri. We're going to talk about the Giants, discuss Interleague, openings for closers, and the All-Star Games, and more. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
So I went to MetLife Dome on June 12th to talk to Scott Matheson, Giants player, and you'll hear me chuckle at the start of this interview because it seems weird to go all the way out to Tokorozawa to talk to a Giants player because they're right around the corner at Tokyo Dome. But actually, for me, it's much easier to get to Seibu Dome because it's one shot on the train, and if you get the right one, you don't even have to change trains at all. So went out there and talked to him when they were playing the Lions. So it's his eighth season here in Japan, and I remember when he arrived, I think I said it on the show, he's so young, you know, and now he's 35, and we saw on Tuesday the other night at Tokyo Dome when he left the Dome, he has a mild abductor strain and he's off the roster at the moment, and he has really battled some injuries. And actually, before the interview, we were talking about the illness that he went through. I can't even pronounce it. I'm not even sure he can pronounce it, and he looked it up, and he also had a cancer scare, and he had a surgery that he has gone through that he had I think the end of last year. So it has really been an arduous road back to the mound for him, and he still throws hard, and I think Jim talked on past episodes. You have talked about how his physical exploits or accomplishments in training, and I think he was with the Philadelphia Phillies and set some records way, way back in the day. So, and you can hear in this interview, he's a genuine person, and you can't help but root for him no matter what team he plays for, and he certainly has been generous with his time and his opinions with JBW through the years, and we appreciate that for sure. I can even recall having a conversation with him about strategy a long time ago at the Tokyo Dome, and there, I wouldn't say it was a questionable move that Tatsunori Hara made as manager back then, but we were just having an exchange in the dugout, and I just disagreed with it. And I, like I said, I don't know if it was questionable. I don't even remember what it was. But at the end of the conversation, Scott says, "That's why you'll never be a manager, John." And he walked off.
I've felt that whip a couple of times.
Yeah, and I think he's just protecting the manager in the decision. Because as some of the players have told us in the past, you just take yourself out of the equation. Let the coaches and the managers do the chess part. And you just execute what's in front of you. But Scott executed a great interview, so there were no disputed points in this one.
And then there'll be no requests for video review.
Exactly. All right, so let's take a listen. All right, we're sitting here with Scott Matheson at MetLife Dome in Tokorozawa. How you doing, man? It's really good to see you. I tried to look up the last time you were on the show. I couldn't even find it. It's been so many years.
It's been a while. Yeah, no, I'm doing good, and I'm really happy to be back up in Ichigun and, you know, back with the Giants.
Hey, man, I know you had some illnesses, you've had injuries and everything. How are you?
Right now, I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. You know, a few months ago, if you asked me that question, definitely would have been a different answer, but I feel great right now. I'm happy where I'm at, and I'm, you know, progressing and getting back to feeling like a normal, you know, person and baseball player.
That's awesome to hear. Now, what is the, what, if you could pin it down to a couple injuries, what were the ones that kept you away for the longest in the recent year?
I mean, my knee surgery was obviously probably the biggest out of everything for affecting my baseball career. But, you know, just the sickness that I went through this winter was more of a life-changing experience. And, you know, that was very debilitating for me. And that was the 3 months of, you know, zero training, laying in a hospital bed and, you know, really struggling. But, you know, the knee overall, the knee surgery and, you know, coming back from that, especially not being able to rehab after being sick, you know, that's been tough. And, you know, it's just I had kind of a Band-Aid surgery on it to fix it and get me through, you know, my baseball career. And then once it's all said and done, I'll end up having a knee replacement and, you know, get it finally fixed.
Okay. All right. So maybe that leads to my next question is, I see that there's a little bit of a limp there, but maybe that has something to do with the knee.
Yeah. I mean, eventually, you know, I need a knee replacement and I, you know, that's something that I'll have in the future. But, you know, right now I can handle a limp. I can, you know, I can pitch and I can compete at this level. I can cover first base. I can, you know, I can run and sprint for what I need to do. So for me, that's good enough.
Okay.
You know, once baseball's all said and done, I'll look at doing the bigger surgery, and you know, hopefully that I'll be able to get back to skiing and, you know, chasing my kids around. You know, if they want to do other sports. And
how about chasing your kids around while skiing?
I would love to do that. I mean, but okay. You know, for baseball, I feel like I'm good enough, and I can perform the way I am, so I'm happy with that.
Awesome. All right, now, how did you feel after your first appearance in Sendai, you know, coming back? I mean, when was the last one? I couldn't even remember. They were talking about how many days.
I think they said 315 days or something.
Yeah.
And you know, before I had the surgery, there was when I first got hurt, I had a lot of doctors with doubts that I would be able to come back. And, you know, I had a lot of doctors tell me I just need to go ahead and have the knee replacement and, you know, get on with my life, and, you know, baseball's in the past. And, you know, I didn't really like that answer, and I decided to go ahead and have it cleaned up and, you know, be able to pitch with it and do my best. And, I'm glad I did that, because I feel like I'm back, and I definitely can pitch now, and I'm happy where I'm at. So it was kind of an emotional, and, you know, my last two outings, actually, my only two of the year, have both been a little bit emotional. And, you know, the first one, just getting back and knowing what I overcome, you know, personally, and then the second one in the Tokyo Dome, hearing the fans. And, you know, I usually don't hear the crowd, or I don't hear much when I'm pitching, and I definitely did there. I had, you know, goosebumps the whole time I was pitching. And,
oh, wow.
You know, I was close to tearing up a few times, which, you know, I feel like is hard for me to say, because I'm not really that emotional type of person. But
I'm not either. But I mean, just watching your hero interview made me emotional.
it was, and you know, I definitely kept my mind somewhere else when I was talking, and when some of the questions, just so I wouldn't tear up, because I feel like, I don't know, that's not something I've ever really done in front of people.
Yeah, and plus you go through a lot, and I guess it just comes, it manifests itself that way when you realize, you know, the long road back. But anyway, you're back, you're on the team, this team is chasing the Hiroshima Carp. How are the roles on this bullpen defined now that you're back, and you've got so many guys pitching here? It's like, do you know all these guys? But first of all, how are the roles defined here? Go get this out.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't know if we really have roles. I think we're all contributing in the bullpen. And I know there's been a lot of talk about our bullpen, but, you know, to be honest, if you look at the Giants' bullpen and look at the innings they've pitched, I would have to assume they've pitched more than anybody else in this league. And, you know, I feel like they have done a very good job for what, you know, for what we've had to pitch and go through. And, you know, I'm just here. Hopefully I can take some of the burden off some of the guys and, you know, help get a few outs and, you know, get us back in first place and, you know, put the Carp in our rear view mirror.
Yeah. Now, what about this kid? Well, I said call him a kid, but I don't think he's that much of a kid. But Kota Nakagawa, where did he come from? I mean, he's calm, he throws hard, he's closing games all of a sudden, and we really haven't seen him on the first team, you know, get this kind of experience, and he's having some success. Where did he come from?
You know, he's been here. He's always had good stuff. He's dealt with a few injuries, but, you know, he threw 30 games, I think 30 games last year, and I think there's always been high hopes for him. And, You know, watching him pitch, his stuff is really good, and he is the future of the Giants bullpen. And he's still young. It's just he's only going to get better. And, you know, I really enjoy watching him pitch, and I hope I can, you know, back him up and help him as much as I can this year, and, you know, look forward to seeing what he does in the future.
Now, I know, I mean, you're talking about the, maybe some criticism the bullpen is getting, but this team is right there in the chase. The bullpen is doing well, in my opinion, and you're not going to get every guy out in every situation, so that's impossible. People don't really understand that, I think, sometimes. No, they expect that you get every single out.
Of course not. I mean, hitters, you know, are paid to do their job too, and their job's to get hits off us. But, you know, I think in the bullpen, you want to expect to get every out. I expect to get every out. I go out there trying to strike everyone out. For me, you know, that's success. It's not, you know, giving up a couple of hits and getting out of it. For me, you know, clean innings are a success. And, you know, reality is it's not possible every time, but that's what you should strive for. And being the Giants, you know, I think that we're not satisfied unless we're first place, unless we win. And, you know, I think the Giants fans should hold us to that as well. You know, I wouldn't want to be with an organization that doesn't strive to win and be the best. And, you know, being in second place or third place is not acceptable. And, you know, I think for our team, for our management, and for our fans.
All right. Getting back to the bullpen and these guys, you've got so many guys coming in and out. Do you know all these guys? You've seen them? I'm sure you've seen some of them on the farm.
But no, definitely. And, you know, everyone stepped up. And, you know, we have a lot of we have a young team this year. And, you know, hopefully it's showing some of the future of the Giants. And, you know, of course, being here for 8 seasons now, you know, you've seen these guys get drafted and now getting to see them up here. You know, it's great. And I'm hoping that, you know, they're out there trying to take my job and, you know, take over the, you know, seventh, eighth inning role, whatever it might be. But, you know, there's a lot of good guys. Everyone's working hard and, you know, they're still young. And it's just hopefully we can win and mature at the same time.
Okay. Now, it's the time of year where the Pacific League kind of feasts on some of the Central League teams and beats their brains in. And I know you guys are not particularly one of the teams that gets the brains beaten in. But how do you get ready for these games? Do you study, do you prep before the series starts, or do you prep, you know, day by day? How does it go?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we go over their hitters before the series and before every game. You know, unfortunately, we have Central League hasn't fared that well in a few years. My first year here, we beat up on everybody, and we won the Central League, or we won the Interleague, and, you know, I hope we can do that again here. I look forward to, you know, playing SoftBank coming up and, you know, hopefully winning that series. And, you know, I'd love to be able to get the Giants back on top, and I know everybody else here would. Probably everybody in the Central League would love to see a Central League team on top. I think we're the team that could do it.
I think so, too. Now, what's important when you're approaching the Lions lineups? I know they have a lot of power, and that's the image, but the other thing is they do is steal a lot of bases. So what's important when you're facing them?
I mean, focusing on the hitter at hand, they have hitters that can put the ball, you know, out of the park, and almost everybody on their team's, you know, a threat on the bases. But if you're too worried about what they're going to do on the bases, or, you know, who's on deck that's going to, you know, be able to put the ball in the stands, you'll never get the guy on hand. So I think the biggest thing is just staying in the moment and being aggressive with the hitter up to bat. And, you know, the best hitter in the game is going to fail 70% of the time. So, you know, I think you have to go in that mentality. As a pitcher, you're always going to succeed out there, or you should always expect to. And, you know, the odds are always in my favor when I'm on the mound. And if I'm worrying about the guy on the base, it's going to be harder for me to get the guy up to bat.
All right. I know you're a sports fan in general. How much are you paying attention to the Raptors, being a Canadian?
You know, I'm paying attention. I'm not paying close attention.
Okay.
It's been away for a while, and, you know, still when the Grizzlies left Vancouver, the NBA left a bad taste in my mouth. So I am a sports fan. I can't say I'm a huge NBA fan after the Grizzlies left, but you know, definitely I want to see a championship come to Canada, and, you know, I think they're on the verge of doing that.
All right. Well, Toronto and Tokyo can be two cities that have championships this year.
I sure hope so. You know, I would love to bring another championship back to the Giants and be able to you know, celebrate with all our teammates, and, you know, with Hara coming back, I think he's a great leader, and, you know, he's the guy that can definitely lead us there.
All right, good luck.
All right, thank you.
All right, so there's a lot to unpack there. What have you got that really...
Well, first of all, really way cool because Scott, you know, you just got him. You got that sweet spot. He's played, as you said, he came out of his fifth game. He's not with the first team anymore, so that was great. It was good timing, good luck. Well, I think for me, to me, it's hard to imagine anybody pitching when they're not walking right.
Yeah.
And seeing him come, of course, he wasn't walking right when he came off the mound the other day with an adductor strain. And it makes you wonder, you know, how long he can keep that going. I love Scott, and I love his attitude, and I mean, really basic stuff, like how important his family is to him, and how important, you know, what a good teammate he is. You know, he's great to have for the Giants, and I think they really do miss him because he's such a great teammate. He brings people together. He's a leader. He's a positive guy.
He brings confidence, brings energy.
Yeah. I mean, he's very direct, and he doesn't hide his opinions. And I think with his teammates, he doesn't really hide them either. But he's a considerate and thoughtful person, and I always enjoy talking with him. So it was great to hear him, and I was really... You know, hearing him have to go through this, you know, these life-changing issues is not easy. Of course, it's easier for me. I didn't have to do them, but it hurts to hear about it. And knowing him and knowing the kind of the people and the people he surrounds himself with, I'm sure he'll be well advised, and, you know, he'll take the right steps. So that was a lot of fun, and I think, yeah, I mean, the Kota Nakagawa, we're going to talk about him in a moment, but yeah, he also to me was like you. I mean, he was like, you know, who is this guy? And then I looked and, wait, he's been pitching. He hasn't been pitching a lot. He hasn't been pitching in big roles, and all of a sudden he's the closer. So it seems like he came out of nowhere, but he actually kind of came out of Kawasaki.
Yeah.
These are not synonymous.
No, Kawasaki, you know, they just don't stand out. That's why it seems like he came out of nowhere. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so the Giants are... well, anyway, so Scott's back, and I'm sure the team... I think, of course, he expected more, and the team expected more, and which is to say, hopefully, you know, just hope that he is able to do as well as he wants, which is, of course, as well as he wants is to strike out every batter he faced. So that ain't going to happen. But
as, you know, he told us, yes,
yeah, yeah, but go out. For it, yeah, yeah, like, but go for it, dude.
Base runners, yeah,
yeah. Good luck. Yeah. Good luck with that, and I mean that.
Well, I mean, and you said it too, or you touched on it a little bit, when you have situations when you're injured, and, yeah, I'm going to keep my points narrow again because the chat was kind of long, but he went over it very quickly at the beginning, but he said he had zero training for 3 months, and so as a person who likes to run and work out and go to the gym and all those things, they've said that a highly conditioned athlete, it only takes them 2 weeks to get completely out of shape to where they can't function anymore as a highly conditioned athlete. Just 2 weeks. Okay. So you take a guy like this and you take him out of commission for 3 months, and he said he couldn't do anything. And for him to actually recover and then get to the point where he can start to train again and then get back on a mound.
That's amazing.
And I can't explain enough, put enough emphasis on how difficult that is to get to a professional level where you can compete again and still have an injury. He talked about his knee, that he's going to need a knee replacement at some point, but he told the doctors, well, that's not my plan. You know, he said maybe the doctors told him basically to forgo the baseball career. Let's give you a knee replacement and let's just move on. He says, oh, no, 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 no. that doesn't fit into my plan. That's not what I have in mind here. And I can
pitch,
you know?
What a shock.
I can pitch with it. I can do this. So it just tells you what kind of strong person he is, a person who perseveres. And I came away because I've always liked Scott, and we probably rarely agree on certain things, but I've always liked talking to him. He's always been brutally honest with us on the show. He's a winner. He wants the team to be thought of as the best. He thinks that the team, as he said, should win and not just, you know, get into the playoffs, but they should go out there and win and dominate and give the fans what they expect. And man, you just got to respect that. Whether they can do it or not might be another question, but you got to respect the attitude and the approach.
Well, you do. And of course, I think I have to also think that there's some of that is colored by playing for a team where that's a normal expectation.
Yes,
if you spent your career in Japan with the Swallows, of course you can say the goal should be to win the championship every year, and I believe that is the goal. But the reality is just, you know, it's like, again, you know, it's having an artificial knee and saying, I'm going to run in the marathon. You know, you just get, at some point, you just realize it ain't going to happen.
Right.
Reality gets in the way. Yeah. But with the Giants, you know, with the money and the resources and the expectations, you know, those things are certainly viable. Mm. Having said that, I noticed that the Giants have a chance to do something they've never done, which is go 5 seasons without a pennant.
Ooh. Well, I picked them to finish first, so I don't. I'm predicting they won't. They won't do that. They will win somehow, some way. But
I think there's a very good chance. But yeah, I mean, it's not a lock, and they've.
Oh, definitely not.
This is the third time that they've gone 4 years without a pennant.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome stuff. Well, let's talk about the Giants a little bit. So I want to give you a few names and just see your reaction to them. Okay?
Word association. I'm in it.
Name association.
Akihiro
Wakabayashi.
Oh, who's my second baseman now?
Yeah, Yasuhiro Yamamoto.
No idea. Oh, actually, he's also a second baseman. Wait, okay.
Correct, that's right. Shuta Tanaka.
No idea.
You're just having trouble. And then these are the guys who we're seeing a lot of these days, along with Takumi Oshiro and some other guys who really, up to this point, haven't gotten a lot of time on the field, but they're starting
to Shuta Tanaka. Why do I think about it? He's Kosuke Tanaka's younger brother.
Correct. And okay. So Kosuke Tanaka
is the carp
shortstop who's sort of been benched a little bit, but we won't talk about that. But you know, they can you're not supposed to say anything about it.
Okay,
we're not talking about it though.
Okay,
we might mention it, but we're not talking about it. So the Giants can really use Scott, I think, but they're getting guys out there on the mound who are getting the job done. Kyosuke Takagi. Yep, the gambling man who had a long scoreless streak, and it was snapped the other day, and it was snapped.
When he lost the first game of his career.
Yeah. Yeah,
like 165 games or something.
Yeah, incredible streak that he had, you know, and he's been out there in some leverage. He's been a leverage tool basically for Hara.
Yep.
And he had that look on his face like, whoa, this is not supposed to happen, when he ended up giving up some run. I think it was a home run. He lost the game and all kinds of stuff. But it's no surprise to me. I think that this team is still able to compete. And here's the other thing, is when I went out there to MetLife Dome to talk to Scott, and, you know, most of the teams that get out there, the visiting teams, the training room is in an easy room to spot behind the mirror room. And you have to go past the training room and the smoking room to get out to the field. Well, I'm walking toward the field, and who comes out of the training room? It's the shortstop, Hayato Sakamoto, and he's coming out of the training room. And so I give him, you know, one of those handshake hug things, and And I said, "How you doing, buddy?" I said, "You're getting old, aren't you?" And he said, "Man, I am old." And I walked out to the field, and it was no joke. He did not go through the pregame stretch and the other running exercises
right.
the team usually does. He was back in the locker room. So I think they're starting to slow him down on his workload pregame, because he has hit 30. And that's a big number for a shortstop. So, they have to bring in some of these new guys I mentioned, and they have to give them some playing time. And you talked about, and I always bring this up when we discuss the Giants, that you talked about the fact that under Hata, they have introduced a lot of young players and brought them up from the farm and given them a taste of the first team and given them at least an opportunity to show what they can do a little bit, whether it's mm-hmm. on a long-term basis or limited-term basis. And so, I'm not saying that they're trying to phase Sakamoto out at all, but I think they're getting ready for, when he slows down and maybe looking for opportunities to give him a break. Mm-hmm. And but he's already not going through some of the pregame, so just keep that in
mind as you watch. What that would tell me, he's probably got a nagging injury and they don't want to make it worse, which is, here's the thing. This is a kind of a landmark move for the Giants.
Hmm.
Because it used to be, well, certainly the dogma in Japanese baseball is if you can't practice, you can't play.
Can't play.
You can't take BP, you can't play. If you can't Correct. Do infield, you can't play. If you can't run the bases pregame, you can't play. It's just dogma. It's just Catholic ritual, religious. I mean, teams don't always follow it. I've seen it before, but nobody will ever admit it. Nobody, if you ask, this happened in the Hanshin Tigers in 2003 when they won the pennant for the first time in 18 years. And I was out at Chiba and they were playing the Yakult Swallows and it was blistering hot in the middle of mm-hmm. summer. And a bunch of the players weren't taking BP.
Okay.
And I asked them about it. They said, "Oh, no, yeah, we are." they're going, "No, I did not. You did not." This is, don't say that. It was like a top secret. You weren't supposed to talk about it. People were embarrassed, right. but they weren't. And so this is something that the Giants would have a guy basically who they're easing up the workload, I think is a remarkable change.
Yeah, well, I think you say nagging injury, and I think he has had through the years. I mean, he's had a number of injuries, soft tissue. I think he had a back situation in last year. He has had a number of little things, nothing to really keep him out of the lineup for extended time this year yet, but we'll see. I would imagine that something, these things don't get better when you go out and play a bunch of games. They either stay the same or get worse.
Hmm.
So if they start to give him some more time off here and there, we'll check it out. But I'll try to watch next time I go to Tokyo Dome when they're there. I'll try to keep an eye on him at pregame and all those other things. It's hard when you're doing interviews if you're trying to watch who's working out and who's not. But I'll try to keep an eye on that. So I remember earlier this season, though, Jason Koskrey, our buddy with the Japan Times, joked on Twitter, I think. He said, I think that Hata, the skipper, was glad that Naoki Yoshikawa had gotten injured, because now it gives him an opportunity to do what he normally does, which is play a bunch of guys at second base.
Yep.
And so he is. But I tell you this, the rotation, for whatever reason, and we know that ace Tomoyuki Sugano, he had had to rest his back recently and mm-hmm. he just came back, but they've been very steady. They're going out there, and the team fell out of first place with him, with Tsugano out, but they played well in Interleague, and we'll get to that later. They have a chance to finish with the best record in Interleague if they win on Sunday, which would be nice, but of course, we'll get to that later. But the rotation with a couple of guys you wouldn't think would be...
Yeah, Toshiki Sakurai, huh? What? Who?
Yeah. I like the way he throws. I really...
And I do,
he,
too.
He's a big kid, and he's bigger than I thought he was. I didn't know that... you know, you read the numbers in the book, and you're like, yeah, he's a Japanese pitcher, but he's got really broad shoulders, and he's thick in the upper body, and he's taller than I thought he was. So I really like the way he throws.
I'm going to him and Nobutaka Yumamura, and I'm going, Yumamura, who are these guys?
Yeah.
And they're just, you know, and they, the Giants certainly, they don't have a lot of room for guys who were good 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, Kazuto Taguchi, hey, go take that tire back to Kawasaki and figure out whether you want to be a pitcher or not. You know, we don't need you.
Right. But they're doing okay. And
yeah.
Their bullpen and their starters ERA are about the same. And, you know, it's not great. It's 3.60 for the starters and 3.93 as we speak here for the, and this might be through Friday's games, not Saturday's games yet. But, you know, that's pretty close, and that's good. And they're leading the Central League, and they have played well in Interleague enough to, better than the other Central League teams, obviously. Did you see I think going into the day's games, the bottom four teams in Interleague were all Central League teams. It's no surprise.
That's no shock.
That happens all the time. But the Giants really have been able to take advantage this time, and they're
Well, because they went into Interleague behind, trailing the Carp, and they could finish first, and the Carp can finish last.
Yes, the Carp, So anyway, you know, the Giants. I still have faith in my pick of them finishing on top, and you know they've been able to.
Well, I'm glad because I don't want to see you lose faith, John.
Well, you know, and I think it was Scott I told a long time ago, Matheson. He says, "Well, who do you root for, John?" I said, "Look, every year I do my picks, I do my predictions, and then I root for me, you know." and I like it better that way because I end up looking at the teams and then evaluating, and then I'm rooting for a different team, it seems, every year, you know. And so that's basically, I mean, a lot of times it's ends up being the same team, but you know, and I didn't pick the Carp to even finish in the playoffs this year, and I can still see a scenario in which that happens. It's a difficult one. Lots of injuries. I'm looking at the Giants, and I think they have as good a shot as any team out there. And I think
I think so. And they've got resources. You know, they've got money to throw around.
And it seems like they threw some a little bit this week to a player who's going to be coming in, whose name I'm going to blow up. So you say it because I'll say
Ruby
the wrong
De La Rosa.
Name. Yeah, former
it's
Dodger.
Ruby or Rubby. I think it's Ruby.
That's not what I was going to blow. I was going to refer to him as some boxing legend's name, and that's not right.
No, Ruby De La Rosa is currently with the Reno Aces. So that still is not a done deal. However, it was reported by the Arizona Republic yesterday, and then it was the Giants announced that they've agreed to terms. So I expect that will happen shortly.
Yeah, so you've got it right. They've got the resources.
But I have to think, you know, this is a deal that was probably in the works before Scott came back.
Probably around the time Cook got hurt.
Probably yes, because Ryan Cook felt discomfort in his surgically repaired right elbow. He had Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago, maybe.
Okay.
And he was feeling discomfort in that, and he went down, and he is not. And I think, and so they didn't know. I'm sure they said, "Oh, it'll only be a short time thing," but he hasn't been. I can't say he hasn't pitched well because I haven't watched him pitch. I can say his results have not been encouraging.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen the pitches or focused on the pitches, I should say. But he is not striking guys out, from what I saw. Yeah.
So I thought when I first saw Ruby De La Rosa, I thought, okay, panic button time. And that's where I came up this one about how the Giants, you know, they've never lost five. They've never failed to win a pennant in five consecutive years, although they could do that this year. And they're thinking, you know, that's possible. And so I was thinking, okay, does their bullpen really need help? And now you said, you know, their ERA is not bad, but the ERA when it counts is not good.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that, well, first of all, the Giants are kind of a difficult team to look at because they don't have a lot of innings. I think still they're suffering from that, what they've suffered from a couple of years ago, which is winning and losing blowouts.
Okay.
So I looked at a couple of things, and they don't have a lot of late close inning games for their relievers compared to the rest of NPB.
Gotcha.
So, and then let's just talk about save situations from the seventh inning on. In the seventh inning, they've got a 7.71 ERA in save situations, guys who enter in the seventh inning. In the eighth inning, it's a 6 ERA.
Seventh, 6 in the eighth.
In the eighth, okay. And 5.62 from the ninth, which is not the worst in Japan. There are two teams worse than that. But, yeah, no, it's not pretty. So I thought maybe it's over... They're overreacting, but I have to think that, yeah, without Scott pitching the eighth inning as they expected, and without Ryan Cook, who was very effective, as I recall, in late relief in the minors, without those two guys plugging away and keeping runners off base, it has not been a success, although Kota Nakagawa has been fine, and I did look at Delta graphs today, and basically he stopped throwing his curveball,
mm-hmm.
and his slider's become really good. His fastball's gotten better. My guess is that he's locating his fastball, and so his slider's a lot better too. So,
yeah.
I was about to say that he's there's basically three really, really good middle relievers. Well, actually, there's two really good late left-handed relievers in Japan this year. And I think the two are Kota Nakagawa, and the other one's Kyle Regnalta, the Hiroshima Carp.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third, the next guy down would be the aforementioned Kyosuke Takagi. So their left ears are not the problem, but they're going for a right-hander. So that's probably a good move, even though I said they were pushing the panic button on a tweet the other day. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I saw that tweet. So, yeah. I'm thinking the same thing that, you know, I've seen the panic, and Kota Nakagawa blew a save recently, and I thought, okay, well, that's why we're hearing about Ruby De La Rosa in the news, but like you said, this is probably something that has been in the works probably since Cook developed or came down with an injury.
Yeah, so maybe a month ago or so.
It's just, you know, they meaning the Giants, and like you said, they have the resources, and they're not afraid to use them, and they're not afraid to pull the trigger right away. And I don't blame them. This race, these games, they all mean so much every night, and it's going to be difficult going down the stretch, and you need to. If you're going to bring somebody in the middle of the season anyway, you need to get them acclimated to Japanese baseball as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
De La Rosa, from what I remember, throws extremely hard, not a really great control guy. So I don't know how deep guys are want to dig in at home plate.
He had a good strikeout to walk ratio in AAA.
Right.
So, and Reno is not an easy place to pitch. I mean, it's high altitude and the balls fly, but it's interesting.
All right. So, yeah, I think the Giants, hopefully, I mean, I would like to see a Central League team win 2 years in a row. That would be a first time, wouldn't it be, in interleague play? So
maybe it would be, because the Giants have won twice and not consecutively. Shall we go on to interleague?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So making a seamless transition, let's talk about interleague play. So, like I said, the soft bankers, they can win their... We can't say that, right? But I did hear that on the news today. They said if they won today, it would have been their eighth time winning the interleague.
Correct. Sessions.
But anyway, they've used the Central League as a stepping stone yet again to change the landscape of the PL standings. And this year, they've jumped up to the top, and they beat the Giants on Friday night at Tokyo Dome, and they have a chance to end this thing on Sunday, so it should be fun. So what would you say?
Yeah, basically, by the time you hear this, it'll probably be over unless there's a tie. So basically, after Saturday's games, the situation is this. The winner of the Giants and Hawks on Sunday will be the interleague winner. If it's tied, then the Eagles can win with two wins.
And the Eagles have a makeup game on Monday. So
Monday,
there is baseball
correct.
On Monday, folks. We do have baseball
and
on
if
Monday.
The
two
Eagles
games.
Fail to win two and the Hawks and Giants tie, then the Hawks will be champions again. It's not technically not called champions, but the name they give it is so stupid, I'd prefer not to even repeat it.
Well, I heard championship on TV last night, so somebody...
Oh, yeah, oh, they've gone back to that, yeah.
Yeah, well, somebody
well, a couple
is
of,
using
for,
it.
For a couple
Dude,
of years...
they didn't get the memo.
Yeah, for a couple of years, they said, we're going to stop calling it a championship, and we're going to start calling it the winning percentage leader. And then 1 year, 3 years, 2 years ago, I think the Carp tied the Hawks in winning percentage. So they were actually
right.
the winning percentage leaders, but they lost. The rules said you can't be the winning percentage leader if you lead in winning percentage, but you have a poor head-to-head record against the other team.
It's so messed up.
So, I know. It's like, how dumb can you get? I mean, NPB gives us all these things that can be really, really dumb, and they really outdid themselves that year.
Stop. Yeah, like
so
I said,
anyway,
I always say it's not the person who comes up with the bad idea; it's the people who okay it. Those are the people we want to beat and run
right.
them out of town.
Okay, right. Okay,
because you pay
I'm
your
good
people
with that.
To, yeah, you pay your people to come up with new ideas and innovative things.
Well,
just don't okay the bad ones.
On Saturday, with 8 games left to play, the Central League and Pacific League split their 6 games, leaving the Pacific League with a 54-42 game advantage and the 14th out of 15 seasons in which the Pacific League will win more games.
Oh, you didn't let me do the drum roll.
I'll just do the bump. Okay. You got your kazoo ready?
No, he still lost on the Flintstones.
Ooh, very good.
Again, ho-hum, the Pacific League is beaten up on the Central League. And it's just basically about what it is every year, about, between 5 to 10 games. And hopefully, I was impressed with the Central League today because we had a couple of teams go out and come back and win and... or maybe that was Friday. But anyway, I've been impressed with the Central League. They've been playing tough.
Yeah, they have been. I mean, we went through, we talked about the last couple of weeks that they were actually leading in runs scored. That has since gone out the window.
Yes.
But, pretty much. Oh, you did find your kazoo. Excellent.
So, now one thing on Wednesday night, DeNA skipper Alex Ramirez won his 240th game. And he's in the middle of year 4, and he surpassed Kiyoshi Nakahata, who needed 4 complete seasons to get 239 wins. And so now Alex is fourth, alone in fourth on the all-time list with the franchise in terms of wins. And I thought, wow, it only took him 4 years of pretty decent baseball to get to fourth.
I'm curious who I have an idea of who 2 of them are, but the other doesn't.
Oh, don't
I couldn't get.
Don't bring up trivia. I didn't
okay,
do that.
I'm not.
I didn't.
That's fine. That's fine. But I'll bet that was pretty satisfying because of how Nakahata treated Alex Ramirez when he played for him at DeNA.
That might be something that he thought about. I will have to ask
I'll
him one
bet
day.
You he did. He might not answer now.
Yeah, he might not, especially since you brought it up. But it was interesting for him. And then Yamato Maeda, of all players, had 2 walk-off hits in less than a week.
2 walk-off doubles.
And they clinched the Bay Stars clinched a winning record in Interleague for the first time in 5 years, I also heard. So good stuff for them. And as far as the Lions, you know, they've got the home run, the interleague home run and RBI leader in Takeya Nakamura, and he's just a killer. And you know, you think you're making good pitches, and you know these pitchers let the ball go, and they're, you know, halfway to the plate. You can almost see in their body language, oh no, and he's getting a good swing. And you know, he hit some home runs in Nagoya, made the dome look kind of small. And there was some Twitter discussion about moving in the fences at Nagoya Dome, and I said that, you know, not with this pitching staff, and they just went out and proved it that night.
Yeah,
it's probably pretty, not a good idea. not at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible. I know Alzora posted something today about the most home runs. It was the most home runs allowed, and when your team is giving up the most home runs in is above average in home runs, and you play in Nagoya Dome, that's a serious problem.
That is beyond serious. That is run for your life. The house is on fire. Everybody right. out. Everybody
I
out.
Know. I know.
So, yeah. And before we move on, I wanted to mention that the Lions on June 11th, so this is the day before I went out to talk to Scott at MetLife Dome, and their starter that day, Tatsuya Imai, was supposed to start that night, and he came down with a fever. So they had Yasuo Sano come out and start, and he, you know, they basically had a bullpen game. But what they did that night was shut out the Giants. And at the time, the Giants were still in second place, I think. But, you know, one of the top teams in the Central League, really good offense, or they're scoring a lot of runs. And the Lions have, as Jim looked up for me, they only have two, they had two shutouts going into that game. And I thought this was the most impressive pitching performance the Lions have put on in quite a while. In fact, I equate this bullpen game with a three-hit shutout to a no-hitter for the Lions because of the way they've pitched this year. They've been so bad. This is the equivalent of a no-hitter. So Kyle Martin and Katsunori Hirai and then Tatsushi Masuda finished off, or they combined to blank the Giants. And I thought that was their most impressive pitching performance in a long time. As a team, just wanted
well, they've
to
gone.
That.
You know, they're interesting. You watch them a lot, and then you see enough to have hope, and then you see more, and you learn not to put all your eggs in that hope basket.
You don't bring eggs anywhere near that basket. It's gonna get bashed. So I just wanted to mention that. So making a four-seam transition, it's our openings for closers segment. And so I was watching a game the other night, and I thought, you know, I'm seeing another guy get his first pro save or NPB save in the case of Brandon Dixon with the Oryx Buffaloes. But I thought, you know, there have been a lot of guys this year who've gone out and got their first pro saves. I can't name them all. I just, the ones that come to mind, Hiroshi Kaino of SoftBank.
Rookie.
Got his.
Yeah,
and he's a rookie. And then, like I mentioned, Brandon Dixon. And then there have just been some other guys. But I just noticed that we've seen, you know, I put a lot of stress and importance on the back of the bullpen. I like to have a guy I know is a ninth inning guy. Now, not everybody thinks that those three outs are just three outs. And you know, I asked,
a
lot of people. A lot of people in the common thought, I think, a lot of times in baseball front offices is that they're just three outs and anybody can get them. But
you're oversimplifying.
I'm overstating.
I think there's an argument. I think the argument is that if you're good, you can learn to make the adjustments. And
whatever it is, adjustments or whatever it is.
And then and the other side of it is there's some sort of mystical power that closers possess that other people don't have. And I think it goes between those two poles, between three outs or three outs, and closers are somehow superheroes dressed like baseball players.
Right, okay. you know, capeless superheroes. I got you.
Yeah.
So I asked you to look up the number of pitchers this year who have gotten their first saves, and that number was 10 when we spoke, and I know it, for a fact it increased to 11 on Thursday when Kaino got his first, and I don't know if you looked up the number since then. But I'm thinking
I have not.
We have really seen a lot of bullpens blow up some games, including seeing my man Hirotoshi Zenshin Masui of the Oryx Buffaloes be sent to the farm because of it. You might think it's inconsistent performances, and I know he has blown some saves, but the guy is still like, you know, second in the Pacific League with saves.
No, he's had a lot of good games.
Well, now he's third. Yeah.
Well, he had a lot of good games, and then and as we were discussing this the other day, or texting, you know, you said, we were texting, and he was pitching in his fourth straight game or third straight game, and he had a bad game, and then he had a couple of days off, and he came back and he pitched okay, but then he went through a stretch over the course of about 10 games where he had like three bad ones, and now he's on the farm. And who's the other closer on the farm right now?
Hiroshi Suzuki of the Dragons.
Oh, okay, excuse me, the other closers.
Shota
Nakazaki.
There are openings for closers.
indeed there are, because Shota Nakazaki couldn't stop walking guys.
Yeah, the carp, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes. I noticed that. I mean, I remember a game he pitched against the Swallows where he got two saves. He had a total of two-run lead and a one-run lead, and he left five runners on base without allowing a run. And I'm thinking, this is not easy to sustain. Either you're going to get better, or you're going to start killing yourself.
Yeah.
Well, you know, killing your team. So
yeah, they can call the stat save, but I think when you load the bases with nobody out and then have to struggle through a arduous road to get to the end of the third out without allowing a run, I don't think we're calling that a save. We're calling that a survive.
Yeah, so I was anyway. So John was bringing this up and mentioning it, and we were kind of going through the list of who's actually been good and, well, or who's held down the closer's job the whole season.
And I've got two guys.
Who are?
Yasuaki Yamasaki of DeNA and Yuki Matsui of Rakuten. That's it.
Even Dolis?
Yeah, I think he's up there.
Well, it doesn't matter if they're struggling or not. I'm just saying that they're still there. They haven't sent him down.
All right, Rafael Dolis. Yeah.
And he's actually been quite effective, though. I'm not going to throw the... I mean, he's had a couple of bad games, but I think Yamasaki's struggled quite a bit more. He's had a lot more dangerous-looking games this year.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're all right there at 14 saves. That's not that many compared to...
No, but that's another thing, which is... there's a couple of other things going on there, but a lot of the closers... Taichi Ishiyama, well, he was hurt, so he didn't really lose his... And they didn't really miss him because, as we were talking before the show, the Swallows don't have any late leads anyway. So, I mean, the team's got seven saves this year.
As a team, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had to look. I had to double check. Is this right? The Giants and the Swallows are like, you know, they just don't have late leads that are save-worthy. So those two, and then the Giants switched. And, yeah, pretty much everybody has switched.
And I wanted to also mention the Hawks. You know, Dennis Sarfate still not healthy, so he hasn't even thrown. And then Yuito Mori is also out injured, and he's the replacement.
Stiff lower back and some
So that's why we had to see Kaino out there, and then Ryo Akiyoshi of the Fighters is now injured. So, and Ryan Cook of the Giants, we talked about him earlier. So yes, we've seen a lot of injuries take place too, and then some ineffectiveness, and it's just been a combination of things. All right, so I'll put Dolis on the list, although the save situation just seems like he just hasn't pitched as many innings. Maybe that's why he.
Well, the Tigers.
He's got 32 innings, so he's actually.
Well, I'll tell you, the Tigers have the second best WHIP in ninth inning or later save situation, 0.85. Actually, they're tied with the Marines, but I don't think he's Dolis has not really been the problem.
No, not at all.
So I'm hesitant in that, and so I'm going to post these these tables. Basically, today I did a, because of John. well, no, I don't want to make it sound like it's your fault. It was actually...
No, I thought you were giving me credit for handing out a very interesting assignment.
Well, it wasn't much of an assignment, but since we were talking about it, I was thinking, okay, well, how good are the relievers actually? And so I kind of dug around and played around with my database and came up with a table about, you know, where, how teams, bullpens have fared in different role, in different situations, groups of situations. So I'm going to post that on my website probably tomorrow or Monday. So by the time you hear this, it'll be on my website.
All right. So yeah, you've given us we talked about the Giants and you've given us the best. Who are the worst quickly?
In the ninth inning?
Ninth, with the same stats. So ninth inning or later save situation.
Dragons. The worst are the Dragons. And, the four worst I'll just throw out, the Buffaloes, Giants, Carp, and Dragons.
Wow. Well, it's no surprise that the Dragons are bad. I thought, you know, the Marines, my image of them is that they, the middle innings when they bring in relievers, so if they have to pull their starter, let's say fifth inning, sixth inning, that the
Marines
guys
have been pretty good. I think their problem has been before they get to the seventh inning. I don't know.
Okay. Interesting stuff. That's fun. All right, let's make a two-seam transition and talk about the All-Star Game. And the fan voting as of June 17th has been pretty much spot on. The games are going to be July 12th at Tokyo Dome, which I didn't realize, and I won't be going.
I know, because we care so much about the All-Star Game these days.
Yeah, well, I won't be going because I didn't realize it. And then July 13th at Koshien. So two of, you know, basically the marquee stadiums in Japan will be host to the All-Star Games this year. And in the Pacific League, as far as starting pitchers, I like what the fans have done with the voting here with Kodai Senga. But I think, for me, I think Yoshinobu Yamamoto of Oryx is probably maybe number one just because his ERA is up there. But I think the best pitcher has been Kohei Arihara, although he didn't pitch well on Friday and lost to the Dragons, which is kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, you know... I'm doing a course. This is just sort of, I'm too much information, perhaps. I'm doing a course on baseball analytics right now, mm-hmm. which I really needed because I didn't have any interest in that stuff. Anyway,
that stuff, you're a stat head. What are you talking about?
I know. I'm joking. Anyway, okay. And they asked, one of the assignments was to pick two players who've either done really well, who are struggling or doing well. And I picked I just basically picked players who were far ahead of their norm, and one hitter and one pitcher. And I picked Arihara, and he's so far ahead of his norm for the season, but he really hasn't been any good since the start of June.
Yeah,
actually, pretty much since the end of May, since the beginning of May, he's been kind of mediocre. Mm-hmm. So he has allowed like 14 home runs, and most like. I think 11 of those are after May 1st.
Okay. Yeah, I know as soon as we started talking about how great he was, he stopped being great. So.
Yeah, we ruined him. We're terrible.
I'll see him tomorrow. Actually, I'll see him at the ballpark probably. I don't think I'll talk to him, but I do want to talk to some of the fighters, people. We'll see how it goes tomorrow at Nagoya Dome. But
I'll say hello to Kenny Wamoto for me.
We'll do. But I don't know why the fans have Takayuki Kishi of Rakuten up on this list. He has been hurt most of the season, so why, people? Why? Get him off of here. He should not be on here.
Let's put it this way. He's leading Hideaki Wakui, so at least that's a good thing.
That's probably good. That's good. Good job, fans.
No, but I mean, if you look at the orders, actually, I mean, Yamaoka, I'd like, you know, to see more love for him. But the rest of them, and Rei Takahashi, perhaps, but
maybe
pretty much,
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not going to say they're bums, but...
No, I mean, the fans are doing okay.
No, yeah, I like it. I mean, there's nothing really crazy. I mean, I looked at it and I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. That's fine.
Except
I guess my one take of from the All-Star balloting is that is Hotaka Yamakawa leading everybody in voting. Which is, to me, perfectly okay, makes perfect sense. And then number two is Shogo Akiyama. And I think...
He's number two in the voting.
Yes. With the only two with over 400,000 votes. So, he's a good player having a fine season. He wouldn't be my pick for number one, but, you know, it's not unreasonable.
Not at all. And there are a lot of Seibu guys out there, Akiyama included, Shuta Tonosaki getting some love, and as well as Sosuke Genda, the shortstop. So, yeah, there are a lot of Lions out there, a lot of SoftBank players, a lot of name recognition. We got Brandon Laird of Lotte at third base. He's leading.
Yes, well done.
So they're doing a good job. What about the Central League? What did you see over there?
Well, Yuki Nishi leading, which for the Tigers is not a surprise because the Tigers have so many fans. I'm surprised that Sugano's not higher up just because the Lions have a lot of fans. The Giants have a lot of fans, but it's an interesting ballot. Pierce Johnson leading the middle relievers in the Central League. Umeno Ryutaro with the Tigers, very deserving, easily the catcher of the year in the Central League so far. Unless Tsubasa Aizawa just keeps...
Umeno to his friends, yeah.
Hmm?
He goes by Ryutaro Umeno to his friends.
Oh, does he?
I joked.
Oh, okay.
Oh, does he? I like that. Oh, does he?
I'm not one of his friends, I don't think.
Yeah. How would you know this, Gibson?
I trust you, man. But I think that's interesting. They're fine. I mean, they're pretty much they're pretty reasonable picks. I mean, the people who are having really good years are up there. I guess my biggest one would be Yoshitomo Tsutsugo getting more votes than Yoshihiro Maru.
Mine too, and that's my only problem. I'm like, you know, Tsutsugo, he's a power hitter. He's very popular, but no, I'd have Maru up there.
Maru, even though he's clearly not the player he was 2 years ago, still he's a better player.
Still, yeah. But I like the fact that they have Koji Chikamoto of Hanshin, the rookie, up there. Second. I thought that was a good pick, and... Yeah, the only thing
problem.
That bothered me was the Tsutsugo pick. And,
yeah, probably.
Tetsuo Yamada of Yakult at second base. And Yusuke Aoyama at third base from Hanshin. And I've talked about how well he... It just seems as soon as I talk about how well a guy is doing something, he starts to mess it up. But it's
I know it's their fault. You know, you praise them and then they go in the toilet, man.
Well, no, I didn't say toilets, you know. But okay. Just start messing up. The
spittoon.
I praised how well he's playing defense, and it seems, you know, Hanshin has been making errors, and I think I said a long time ago on the show, I'm not looking at errors and equating that with defense all the time, because a lot of teams, you know, you're going to make errors, they're going to happen, the ball doesn't bounce true sometimes, and the scorers don't know how to score a bad hop single. So you end up with an error sometimes, but the errors don't bother me so much. But Hanshin is making quite a bit of errors, in addition to making good plays, and Aoyama had his share this past week. So let's clean that up, guys. All right. So anyway, I will not be at the All-Star game because I messed up the dates and I took the wrong days off anyway. So I'm going to be on vacation the week after the All-Star game. But that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about a couple notes. You know, I always told people that, you know, pitchers who play in a DH can get their share of hits as well. And the way they do it is they plunk guys.
Indeed, they do. Shun Yamaguchi, first of all, Shun Yamaguchi, if you're listening, we're talking about you. He's got...
the plunker.
The plunker, indeed. So anyway, one of the Hanshin bloggers was complaining about how Shun Yamaguchi can't seem to get through a game without hitting somebody. Actually, they said something fairly kind of a pejorative in there and referencing to some of his other issues.
Play nice.
But I'm not going there. But he's hit 10 batters this season. Today he hit his 10th, which is the most in NPB. He was tied with Kona Takahashi of the Seibu Lions, but he's got the lead now, and he's not giving it up.
Hey, you know what I was curious? Why throw four when you only need one?
Yeah, well, that's what Don Drysdale used to say when, exactly. You know, it's kind of a way of threatening people. So anyways, I was curious, what's the record for a season? Can Yamaguchi make it? The record is 22.
22.
By Toshiaki Moriyasu in 1968. I forget what team he was with, maybe a Lotte. 21 by Jeremy Powell was close. He's number two. So
what
that's kind of
that?
A modern one. 2002. Kintetsu. Kintetsu
yeah,
Buffalo.
Before it was Oryx. Yeah.
And then we had a couple of guys with 20, which I'll leave out, except that my buddy Masanori Murakami in 1972 with the Nankai Hawks had 20 in 147 innings. Wow. And it recalled something Bob Whiting wrote once, that he had had a reputation from some teams. After he came, I think people who were a little envious of him playing in the majors.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a reputation as a dirty player. You know, people, he learned how to play dirty baseball and hit people in the majors. So he actually did have one of those seasons. But yeah, Yamaguchi has a chance to be up there with those elites. But
get your hits, son.
exactly. Now, yeah, see, I thought you were going to be talking about Kodai Senga and his 500 batting average or something like that.
You know, but I've noticed that these PL pitchers have been raking compared to the Central League guys who get the swing all the time, and they're just not making the most of their at-bats. They're just
probably because they haven't been teaching them to bunt all the time. I don't know. But anyway, so I was thinking about, you know, when I looked at, you know, is Yamaguchi leading the league? I looked, and oh, it's Takahashi. And wait, number two is Tawata. Shinzaburo Tawata, and number four is a Lions pitcher.
My
I'm going
name.
Wait, that's a lot of Lions pitchers. And so I said, wow, how many of the Lions? Okay, the Lions are really hitting. They're racking up the hits, as John might say.
Bruisers.
So they had through Saturday's games, they had 43. They'd hit 43 batters.
Ouch.
And I know, and I think they've got a huge lead for the team hit batsmen.
Wow.
And so I thought again, what's the record? And I don't know if I seem to remember this, but I might not have. Maybe I'm just forgetting what I remembered. But the Lions last year set a record with 84 hit batsmen.
I don't remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're on a pace now to hit
surpass that.
89.
Wow. Get out of the way.
I know.
Don't dig in.
Don't dig in at MetLife Dome for sure, man. Yeah.
Well, keep Takahashi, keep Tawata down on the farm then, since he's up there, and then maybe they'll have a chance not to break that record. But geez, wow, stop digging in against the Lions pitchers. Maybe that could be reflective of how poorly they pitch, because remember their ERA is high anyway, so we know they think. They're not necessarily effectively wild. They're just wild.
Okay.
All right. So there was another note we wanted to get to, and that was that Seibu and Rakuten might be interested in acquiring the services of Kazuhisa Makita, who was DFA'd by the San Diego Padres this past week. So I didn't read the entire article. I was really, really busy, but your thoughts on that idea? I know that Kazuhisa Ishii, he's the GM with the Rakuten Eagles, is a
former
teammate of Makita. So that would be one pull in that direction. And of course, the pull from his, or the gravitational pull from his former team, the Lions would be a natural thing to see. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I don't know. I think he can still, you know, he can still pitch some. I mean, he was falling off. His career was in a slippery slope or a precipitous decline, but he was in the decline phase of his career when he went to the majors in the first place.
I agree.
It's hard to see. Well, he'll fit in, but having said that, just like Japanese players who go, or foreign players who come to Japan, learn things that they can't learn in the States and go back and have more success, or they've revived their careers. I think it's not impossible to think that Makita picked up some things in the States that will prolong his career in Japan.
I agree. I think, I always talk about players either getting better or getting worse, and that they change, and maybe things didn't work out over in the States for various reasons, but he can come back. He still knows how to pitch to Japanese players. I'm sure he knows the Pacific League fairly well, and he can apply what he has learned over there to getting the hitters out, or maybe changing something and making adjustments over here to have success. So,
of course, it's hard to be successful when you're throwing basically 60 miles an hour, but you know, go for it.
Hey, man, it's not speed, it's movement, they say. So move it.
That was the Bette Midler song. It ain't the meat, it's the motion. Indeed.
I love that.
Or is that, it ain't the heat, it's the motion. We have to change it.
I think we have to kill it.
Hashtag high heat.
Drive a stake through that puppy's heart. Okay.
All right.
You're killing me, Gibson.
You're killing me, Alan. Again, this week, no questions. So let's step up the questions. I mean, you guys can drive the content by, you know, having us talk about your favorite team by asking a question about your favorite team, or just a question in general that you think of. So send those questions to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter @JBWPodcast or leave us a note on the Facebook page. We will talk to you again next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See you at the ballpark and at jballallen.com. Thanks.